You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Well, good morning, everyone. And good morning, Mrs. Burnham. I'm back to school, so it's that, you know, that's, do you remember that in assembly? I used to do work for PACT and go places and have to do assemblies. And I used to go try all different sorts of ways so I wouldn't get the good morning, Mrs. Burnham, because it always used to make me feel miserable. Anyway, good morning, and good morning to anybody on the podcast. Bless you, masses. Neville and Jackie, if you're weird enough to download me while you're on holiday, what are you doing? Relax and have a good holiday. So, Neville has asked Johnny and I, the Greek god, as I like to call him, I think it's very apt, to do a couple of talks on serving. And I'm very happy to do that because it actually gets, I think, to the real heart of who Jesus is. It's the very nature of him to serve. Don't you think 99% of everything you pray is a Jesus, can you help me with this? Jesus, could you help me with that? Jesus, I'm worried about this. Jesus, I'm worried about that. Jesus, I command in the name of Jesus this thing to happen. You know, he serves us amazingly, doesn't he? Relentlessly, constantly. It's his heart. So talking about serving is really getting to the heart of Jesus. And perhaps one of the ways I'd put it is that love shows itself by what it does. And not by what we say, but by what we do. And Jesus constantly does, doesn't he? Constantly serves and shows himself by what he does. So so when I was thinking about what to call this talk, I decided to call it Living Life Well. And my sort of premise is that when you do not worry about it, Maria. This is the wonderful Caleb, who is what our youngest worshipper. I don't know if you've noticed him in church. He is an absolute delight. Don't go on my account, will you? All right, because he's absolutely gorgeous. Anyway, my premise really for today is that Jesus is the smartest person you could ever meet, and he really knows how to live life well. And if we spend our time getting to know him, seeing what he says and doing it, our lives will be, as he put it, built on a rock. And it doesn't matter what happens, whatever life throws at us, and it will throw lots at us, we will be firm, unshakable, strong, able to deal with it because we're following him. And I would like to just give a little testimony that when I became a Christian, I was absolutely riddled with anxiety. Crippled would be a better word. So I was at university, absolute miracle I got my degree because I was absolutely constantly terrified, found it really hard. I found every day just being alive, just doing the day, an absolute challenge. Found it very hard to concentrate. I was in Neil and Jackie's home group, and Neil would come and pick me and my friend Lisa up in his car to take us to home group, and we'd get a little way there, and then I'd go, Neil, I can't do it, and he'd have to turn the car around, come back and drop me off, because I was so anxious, I just couldn't cope with it. And little by little, taking a step at a time, which is the Christian walk, really, it's a walk, not a sprint or a marathon. Well, it's a marathon, not a sprint. By taking each step, and Jesus says to do it like this, so I'm going to do it like this. Jesus says he's going to do this, so I'm going to believe him, even though I don't feel good, that what he says is true. And just by taking a step each day of trusting him and believing in him, he's turned my life around. And so I know it's true that he's the smartest person you could ever meet, and he really knows how to do life well. And my mum passed away this couple of months ago, which was tough. And we had our funeral for her. My mum's really shy, and she was 95, and she didn't know many people apart from family. So we didn't want a stranger to do the funeral. So I did the funeral, which I think is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. But after the funeral, Jamie came up to me, my husband, and said, Debs, just doing that funeral the way you did it, you were showing your family, who aren't Christians, that if they want to know how to do life, come to you. And I just thought, wow, thank you so much for saying that to me. And I can't believe from where I was to where I am now. And it's all because of Jesus. So I'm going to be talking about serving, but I'm going to be talking about it from the point of view of the foundational values that we want to have in our life. And then Johnny's going to take it further next week. And what I'm saying to you is, some of the things Jesus says seem weird. They don't seem the way we would do life. But if you start putting them into practice, you'll become an oak of righteousness. You'll become somebody whose life is founded on the rock. Way I like to put it, you'll have a life like his, which I can't think of anything better. So I'm saying serving gets to the essence of who Jesus is. And so this is my scripture, and it's from Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And it's, I think it's in the NIV, he took the very nature of a servant. That's who Jesus is. The essence of who he is, the center of who he is love. Love shows itself by what it does, and he serves. So we're going to look at these values. And I just wanted to give two little examples before I carry on, of life-changing examples of people in the, loads and loads and loads of people in the church have served me. Just heard about Neil and Jackie being my little home group leaders and getting me through a lot of stuff. But I've got two pictures here, because when I had Sarah, my first baby, I was totally lost, because I'm the sort of person, give me a book to read, get me to write an essay, I'm your man. I'm an English teacher, I can do that with my eyes closed. Looking after a baby, didn't have the first idea. It's a miracle they're alive. It's a miracle they we're alive. It's a miracle. The whole thing's a miracle. So I was completely and utterly terrified and lost and joyous all at the same time. And the reason I've got a meal there is because a friend of mine, Sarah Gardner, must have realised how serious the situation was, realised that Jamie wasn't getting fed. And neither of us were. And she brought a meal every single day for the first week that I had Sarah. And when I say broke my heart, it broke my heart in such a fantastic way. Just, you know, I didn't have any family near me. I didn't have family that I could call on. And she just made herself family. And she just did that. And she would come in, chaos, tidy up, do the dishes, and Jamie and I would get a meal while one of us was trying to balance the baby and, you know, all of that. Because to me, just having Sarah, if I managed to eat breakfast, I'd done something, you know, because I just didn't have a clue. And the other picture here is because this virtually killed me, but it was the most amazing thing that's ever happened, is Olive came round my house, had a look round, and cleaned my kitchen floor. Can you believe it? And Olive, it's that thing where somebody shows you the love of Jesus without remotely saying anything. And that is something that took an hour. She did it on her hands and knees, because she said, I'm going to really give it a good clean for you. I'm going to do it on my hands and knees. And it stayed with me. And it showed me how to live my life. And it showed me what love is like. And it helped me to do that for other people because she'd shown that to me. So just want to give those little examples that have spoken to my life. And one of the things I guess I'm saying is when you serve, you show the love of Jesus to people and you don't realize what you're doing. But those two simple things that happened over 30 years ago, they're in my memory and I've got bad memory and I'll never forget those. And so if you want to be unforgettable for Jesus, serving is a great way. So hope you can amble with me through some things I'm going to talk about. And I guess my overall point is it's not about us. It's not about you. Learning to live your life well, following Jesus, you learn to get delivered from self. And I really mean delivered from self. So one of the things Jesus says is it's better to receive than to give. Amen. Is that right? No, it's not, isn't it? But come on, if we're really honest, doesn't that make more sense? It's better to receive than to give. That to me makes complete sense. What? It's better to give than to receive? That's what Jesus says. What? You know, you think about birthdays. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Yeah. Gimme all my prezzies. Yeah, it's better to receive than to give. Mind you, has anybody been to a children's birthday party? Have you ever seen somebody who's got their birthday and they get loads of presents and then you're doing the games and they don't win and it's, you know, total hysteria, and you're shelling out gifts to try and, you know, calm it all down. But Jesus actually says, it's better to give than to receive. And you think, better? Is it better in that kind of way, you know, like medicine's good for you, but it tastes foul? Is that what it's meant to be? Meant to go around feeling like martyrs, having an utterly miserable life, but it's better. Jesus says it's better, so it must be right. I don't think so. He says it's better. And I think it's because he wants to expand our lives and he wants to enlarge our lives and he wants to give us a wider purpose than just ourselves. We have a large voice inside us a lot of the time in loads of situations and it's kind of lying to us actually. But it's saying, what about me? What about me? What's in it for me? I'll miss out. If I don't make it happen, you know, all these kind of voices, or I have nothing to give. I've got nothing to give to anybody. I just need to be taking because I'm in a total mess and I've got nothing, forgetting who we contain, which is Jesus. And he's always got something and he always wants to work through you and use you. So he says it's better to give than to receive. And so that is one of the value systems that you need to really think about. And this is where we have to say, Jesus, you're the smartest person who ever lived. I think living for myself is the best thing. But you're saying to me, it's better. You can have something much better if you give. And if you start to get that coming into your life and start asking Jesus, what does that look like for me? And it will start to change you. And believe you me, it will start to set you free. Because I think one of the biggest taskmasters is ourselves. It's like a slave. We can be a slave to ourselves and to our own, getting our own needs met and can make you like a slave. And I've got a kind of a weird example. But one of the ways Jesus kind of taught me a bit about this is, as I say, I was totally riddled with anxiety at university, and I found life incredibly hard. And when you're really anxious and fearful, your head is going like nobody's business, and you're full of, you're analysing everything and looking for where the bad is, and you can hardly hear people because you've got this voice in your head of it's all going to go terribly wrong, and you can't do it, and you can't manage. And it was kind of reducing my life to being my little room at university and not managing to get out of it, and it was, you know, becoming this huge taskmaster. But I had some lovely friends, and of course I was pretending I was fine because you don't want anybody to think you're a lunatic and whisk you off in a white jacket and all this kind of stuff. So I was pretending I was fine while having all this hysteria. And some friends had got this job working at this cafe, and I needed the cash, and they'd roped me into it. So I just happened to be with them, and we all suddenly got these jobs. So I'm like this inside and thinking I've got nothing and I can't cope and my life's a mess and I can't, you know, eat and all these things. And I had to go and waitress. And of course, the boss doesn't know any of that. And the minute I get in the door, it's, Debs, you're doing these tables. These are what the desserts are. I want you to make them like this. The chef's going to specialize this tonight. And when you see people, I want you to tell them this. And so-and-so's going at 9. So at 9, you're going to be doing blah. And, you know, you've got your head going with all of that. And I had to switch off to myself to do my waitressing job. And I would do it, and I'm serving. I've got about 3 or 4 plates I'm juggling, handing them all out, remembering people's orders, blah, blah, blah. And without me realizing, I'd have 5 hours off from my nightmare because I was completely engrossed in doing this waitressing job. And it was just it taught me loads and loads of different things, which aren't the sort of subject of today, so I won't go into it. But one of the things it taught me is, if you start thinking about others and doing something for others, yes, you need ministry. Yes, I needed help. Yes, I needed ministry. And, I live and breathe and love. I'm on the healing encounter team. I love doing sozos. But a really practical thing is learning to serve, getting your focus off yourself is like deliverance. It really is. It's like freedom. And Jesus knows what's better. He really does know what's better. And I used to have 5 hours free from my nightmare. A little example would be, obviously coming to church for me was a nightmare while I was all in this anxiety-ridden state. And I'd say to Jamie, who was my boyfriend then, but was living at home, and I was at uni here, and I'd say to him, I can't stand church, you know, and I'm going in, I don't know anybody, it's terrifying. And he'd say to me, look for somebody who's on their own, and just go and love them and talk to them. And so I would. You know, probably couldn't hear half of what they were saying or anything like that. But it was taking me out of myself, and it actually was helping me. So that's the better. Jesus wants to expand your life, not reduce it. There's a lie sometimes that we've got nothing to give. I felt I had nothing to give, but actually I got Jesus inside me, and as I forgot about myself a bit, he gave me stuff to do and expanded my life. So that's the better, I think, a bit of the better. And I think one of the ways we can live outside of ourselves and be kind of set free from ourselves is another truth that Jesus says, which is, seek me first, and all these other things will be added to you. And it's about, my journey's been about trusting Jesus, that he knows what I need. And as I trust him and try to do what he tells me to do, he meets my needs. And so one of the ways I think we can, with serving, live beyond ourselves, is when it all comes from him. It all comes up from our relationship with Jesus and getting to know him. Oh, yeah, that was good, wasn't it? I forgot all about that. It's better to give than to receive. Maybe not that one. Hang on. Oh, there it is. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So our relationship with Jesus is what empowers us. It's what gives us strength. It's what takes somebody like where I was to be where I am now. It's that relationship with Jesus. And that's where your strength comes from. And where am I? Oh, I'm doing the wrong one. Total chaos here, isn't it? Oh, do you know what? In my mind, I've got something else, but it isn't down there. Oops. I just really want to encourage you that Jesus says some amazing things like, I was reading the other day, I think it was in Isaiah, before you even call, he will answer you. Yeah? Isn't that amazing? He knows what you need before you even tell him. Not one sparrow falls without Father knowing about it. and even the hairs on my head are numbered. You know, so why are you worrying, Debs? Yeah? I know what you need. I am faithful. You know, I'm your father. I am mighty to save. Nothing's impossible for me, and I love you, and nothing can separate you from my love. And as those truths and that reality of your relationship with Jesus kicks in, it empowers you to not live just for yourself, because you know that Jesus has got your back, that Jesus has gone before you, that Jesus is faithful, that he's going to turn up trumps, that he won't let you down. And that gradually empowers you to live a life that's bigger than just for you. And it will set you free. Amen, says my husband. Thank you very much. That's good. Yes. So another thing that Jesus says, again, is not too sexy to me, is if you want to gain your life, lose it. Woohoo! Yay! Loving it. What? Doesn't make sense to me. So he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost and destroyed? And I think, what? If I want to gain my life, which I really, 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 really do, I need to lose it. What? You know, he just says these amazing truths, doesn't he? And you think, what on earth? That doesn't make sense. I think that should be the other way round, surely. But he says that's the truth. He knows how to do life. So I've got to kind of learn from him. What does that mean, Jesus? He says, deny yourself. Well, the world says, gratify yourself, yeah? Entertain yourself, fulfill yourself, self-fulfillment. But Jesus says, deny yourself. I mean, there's really simple little examples, like at school, I see loads of kids that can't deny themselves, and they don't do as well as they could do because they go home, they don't want to do their homework, they don't want to work hard on something, they want to get straight on the Xbox or whatever it is as soon as they get home, and they haven't learned how to deny themselves at all, and they lose. They lose some of their life because of it. They lose some of their future because of it. They lose some of their potential because of it. They lose fulfillment. I was talking to my brother Pete, and he's looking for jobs. He was literally made redundant on the day my mum died, so that was great, wasn't it? But it's pulled us all together as a family, and he's doing really well. But he said to me, oh, you know, typical thing, I should have worked at school. All the jobs I've got, they're all lousy and they do my head in. So it's true, isn't it? You can kind of deny yourself, gain the world, gain, you know, gratify yourself, and sometimes you just lose it. That's a really simple example. But Jesus says, take up your cross. And I mean, they really knew what take up your cross meant in those days, crucifixion, a hideous, hideous death. Now, don't worry. I'm not saying serving requires you to die in that respect. Keep calm. But it does mean laying down your life for others. And serving gives you that opportunity to do what Jesus says is how we should live. Lay down your life for others. And I, you know, again, I'd like to be practical. And I was thinking about this. And husbands and men who may at some point become husbands, you have the awesome words of Paul telling you to love your wife as Jesus loved the church, i.e. pouring out your life, laying down your life for her. Oops, quite an awesome one. A lot of serving going on there, if we're getting it right, yeah? And I was thinking about gaining your life or losing your life. My sister, I love to bits, she has the same birthday as me, just as an aside, but she's 14 years older. Strange, isn't it? So she must have had a lousy birthday 14 years ago when she was 14. But when she was married, she had two boys, and she was living in a little caravan with her husband, and her oldest son, he was probably about 4 at the time, but he had a real problem with bedwetting and all that kind of stuff. And she told me way, way later in life about, you know, they're trying to go out on a Saturday, and she's having to deal with Sam, strip the beds, calm him down, do it in a way so he doesn't feel humiliated. She's trying to wash up the dishes, get everything. Everything is in chaos because it's a tiny little caravan. And her husband was sitting there and he's saying, "Are you nearly done yet?" That's what he said. Because in his mind it was, "I've been working all week. I need some time off. Isn't that the woman's job, doing all these practical things? So come on, Jude, hurry up. We should have been out a while ago." And I guess, you know, it's a bit of an extreme example, but I'm telling you, he gained maybe 2 hours to himself while Jude was racing around like a mad thing, trying to sort out the bedding, sort Sam out, get the kids ready, do the washing up, all those bits and bobs. He gained 2 hours to himself, but what he began to lose was his wife's affection and his wife's love. And little did he know that that was just one of those days that was adding to all the other days, that was adding to all the years that led to the end of their relationship. Selfishness kills. Selfishness kills. And it's, you know, often we sort of wonder, and I think this is where the truth is. We're trying to gain our life. Just 2 more hours on the Xbox. And anyway, I don't think it was 2 hours on the Xbox. She's exaggerating. I'm sure it was only 20 minutes. You know, those kind of ways we deceive ourselves about what we're doing. But actually, it's killing your life. It's you're losing your life. So, because often the Holy Spirit is whispering, just do that. You know, the baby's crying in the middle of the night scenario. Play dead, play dead. I can't hear it, I can't hear it. If I stay here long enough, she'll get up or he'll get up. You know, play dead, play dead. And the Holy Spirit's going, why don't you just go and do that? It's like, no, I've been at work all day. You know, she's at home all day. She doesn't do anything anyway, does she? She's at home all day. I'm the one doing the work. Whatever, we start to deceive ourselves. But we've had an opportunity to lay down our life for someone, to serve someone, to show someone Jesus. And that way we're going to gain it. We're going to gain it in so much more. So for me, if the number one killer of marriages that I see, the number one killer that makes family so difficult, is selfishness. And I'm saying to you, there is a way out. And the way to gain your life, rather than to lose it, is to lay it down and to serve. And we need to slay the giant of selfishness in our lives. And I think a lot of the time, I think self-deception, we do it a lot. And or we spiritualize things and we kind of say, oh, the devil's really getting at my relationship and he's really in our family and blah, blah, blah. When actually, I think you're doing a pretty good job on your own just by being selfish. And let's call a spade, shall we? And let's get a bit real and have a little look at what we're doing. Because love shows itself by what it does. And Jesus, the very nature of who he is a servant. And if you want to really, really have a beautiful relationship, if you want to have a beautiful family, if you want to be someone that people around you just think, I want what he's got, I want what she's got, slay that giant of selfishness. Yeah? That's what we need to do. So if you want to find your life, if you want to find fulfillment, Jesus says, give it away. Pour it out, put others first, and then you'll find your life. So let's imagine a life like that. So I don't know what I've got else on here. Oh, yeah, all good. I know what that's one for. I've got such bad memory. I only did this at the beginning of the week, but I can't remember what I've got on there or anything. Dreadful, no. So one of the other things I want to say that are kind of foundations. So my foundations are believe Jesus. He knows how to do life. A Christian is somebody who sees what Jesus says, gets to know him well and does what he says and finds their life just becomes so much wider and bigger. It's better to give than to receive. If you want to gain your life, lose it. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. These are teachings of Jesus that we want to have them in the foundations, and you want to think about what that looks like for you, and it should drive and motivate how you do stuff, and you'll see you be coming into that fullness of life that Jesus talks about. And the other one I want to talk about is, this is a little clip, a picture about the woman in the well in John 4. And do you remember Jesus pouring out his life for others, because he was extremely tired. He was so tired that the disciples said, look, we're going to go and get the food. You just stay here, Jesus. He was exhausted. Constantly you see him giving away, trying to get somewhere quiet to be with the disciples just by himself. And then he gets surrounded by thousands of people needing him. And then he lays down his life, puts that to one side, and just gives and gives and gives. That's who he is. And this is another situation where he's exhausted. He's sitting there. This woman's coming in the heat of the day. I can imagine he's talking to Father, and Father's saying, you're in the right place, son, at the right time. I've got something I want to say to this woman, and this is how I want you to do it. And he's listening to Father, and she comes up, doesn't she? And they have this amazing exchange about living water. And she's saying, well, I'd like some of that. And he says, well, if you knew me, you could have it. Deb's paraphrase. And from that one experience, she goes to the village, tells everyone, brings everybody back, and a whole village gets saved. That's Jesus, isn't it? That is Jesus. But the amazing thing that I want to sort of center on is that when the disciples come back and they've been plodding into town, missed the whole thing, gone and got some bread, got some food, come back to give Jesus some food, and then I must admit, if it was me, I'd be really irritated at this moment, because I'd have gone in the heat of the day, gone and got the food, think I'm doing all the right thing, and Jesus says, I've got food that you know nothing of. And you're like, what? You know, he says, my food is to do the will of my Father. You know, so from doing that experience of serving that lady, he felt invigorated, enlivened. He'd come alive because his whole desire was to make Father known. And so, again, something I want to talk about is serving the Father. Remember, by the way, who we are serving, which is Jesus. When we serve, it's him we're serving. But by serving Father, we get fed in ways we don't know, realize. So for us, we've been, my home cell group, get the term. We've been doing for a couple of years now this thing called Spirit Cafe. You've probably seen this weird and wonderful banner on the thing. And it's our way of trying to reach out to people who are spiritually hungry, but they don't like Christian terminology. It turns them off. And I've got some of my home group because, cell group, because we realise that we want to serve what Father's interested in, but we'd rather do it together because we're a bit scared on our own. And fortunately, because my cell group's quite small, got a lot of other people who give up their time and come and serve with Spirit Cafe. And normally when we get there, Jamie comes straight from work. He hasn't had time, like a lot of the people who come, to have had dinner before or get changed. So when he gets there, he's in his suit. I've got a little hold all with some shorts and a T-shirt in there for him to change. Lots of people come. They've had a horrendous day at work. You know, we all get in and look at each other and think, whose idea was this? You know, we're really, you know, stressed. I'm normally terrified because I don't like organising anything, so I'm pretending to look fine while struggling with, like, I'm organising something. And, you know, so most people, you know, Jamie's not the only one. Loads of people are coming in. They've had to rush like mad, or they haven't had been able time to eat. And we set up, we have a little time with God, then people start to come in. And we, you know, they get in the door, they sit down with somebody, have a cup of tea. Immediately they start chatting. They want to know, what is this all about? Are you mediums? Are you spiritualists? No, we just know Jesus and he'd love to talk to you. Oh, right. And we start talking about Jesus. Then they go and have a little treatment and somebody gives them a word from God, or we pray for them to get healed, or they want to give some guilt and get rid of some guilt. We tell them about Jesus and how he can take guilt. And then at the end of the session, when everybody's gone, or if it's me, I've hoofed people out because I want them to go. I want to have had enough now. Stress. We sort of have a little mop-up where we talk about what's gone on. And the people who've been doing the treatments will say, this person got this, and we had this picture, and we all had these pictures for this person, and they cried. And I think I sort of led them to Jesus, actually, because we had all these pictures about light, and they said, did you want the light of Jesus in your life? And they said, yes. So we sort of led them in a prayer about it. And we have all of that. And as we talk about it, we're buzzing. And we're energized and we're excited because we've got to see what Jesus was doing. And we've partnered with him and we felt like we were doing what he wanted us to do. And so I want to say as well that there is so much food that God has for you that's going to really satisfy you. And it comes from laying down your life and serving. And you don't think it's going to be that. You think it's going to be the, I'm the martyr, I'm cinders, you cannot go to the ball. That's how I'm going to feel. I'm going to feel like that. But when you're suddenly doing what Jesus wants you to do, and you're part of his purpose, you come alive and you feel fed. And we always go home shattered, but we always go home excited because we've seen God move and we've been part of what he wants to do. So really want to encourage you to have those foundational truths become part of your life, and then serving becomes a part of your life and it makes sense. And you get past the whether I've got anything, what you know, my inadequacies, and you start to get a bigger, greater life, and you become part of the purposes of God, and that topsy-turvy world of Jesus's truths begin to make sense and your life goes well. So I think I've got one last little picture. Yeah, really want to encourage you, slay that giant of selfishness and you will have such a better life, and you will have such a bigger life, and you will find community like you've never found community, and if you will have a marriage like you've never had before, you'll have a family like you've never had before. And imagine a church full of people laying down their lives. Wouldn't it be beautiful? Wouldn't we make an amazing difference? So that's my little two penny worth. But I thought I would just pray for us, if that is okay. Is that all right? Cool. I've got terrible hearing, so don't play anything at the minute because I can't concentrate. Did you hear that? I can't work out things when there's background noise because I've got to that age. So I'm just saying, thank you very much, but hang on a minute because I can't concentrate. Oops, sorry. So try and create a spiritual ambience without a bit of sound for a minute, because I can't concentrate. Right. Okay, so why don't we just welcome Holy Spirit, and because he wants to bring some life to us, doesn't he? So however you want to do it, but we just want to welcome you, Holy Spirit. And I guess Holy Spirit... I just thank you for your presence, and I want to honor you, and I want to thank you that you work so hard in our hearts to make us like Jesus. And I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the Spirit of truth, And you have set me free from so much deception. And I just want to welcome you. And I guess one of the things I want to pray for, Holy Spirit, is wisdom to just come and touch every single person here today. I want to pray for that wisdom that gives you common sense about how to live life well. And I want to pray that those truths, it's better to give than to receive. If you want to gain your life, lose it. Seek him and trust him for the rest. Lord, I want to pray that those truths, Holy Spirit, that somehow you would help us to believe it, and more especially that you'd help us, Jesus, to put it into action and do it. And you'd show us opportunities, you'd show us in our lives where we've maybe been getting it a bit wrong, and where we've been lied to, and where we think, actually, if it's all, it should be all about me, and I'll feel better if it's all about me. I pray you just deliver us. In fact, I just pray now, Jesus, that where we're in any deception, that you would come and deliver us, and the lights would switch on, and somehow, Holy Spirit, you would orientate our hearts the way Jesus' heart was orientated. All about the Father and all about pouring out to those around us. So, Holy Spirit, would you come and do that? Deliver us from the deception and the slavery to selfishness, I pray. In Jesus' name, I pray for a courage and a valor and a determination to arise in people's hearts to slay that giant, to see it for the taskmaster and the slave driver that it is, for the one that is destroying our marriages, our families, our church, our nation. Please help us to look it in the eye and say no. Make those choices, those little choices, every day that come before us, and to choose well. So I want to pray for that, God. And I just want to pray, Father, for anybody who does do a lot of serving and is maybe feeling a bit weary. And I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and refresh every heart. And I guess, Holy Spirit, we're very quick to forget that we're serving you, that when we give somebody a cup of cold water, we're actually giving it to you. So I want to pray for fresh vision that whatever we're doing, it's for you. And I just pray, Jesus, open up our eyes to see that, and that we just fall more and more in love with you. And I just pray, Father, that we would each have the joy of knowing that food that really satisfies, which is to do the will of him who sent us. So I pray for that, God. I pray for a rash of opportunities, and I pray for a rash of decisions to look for ways to serve that mean we're going to have that food that satisfies. So I pray, let it come. Let it come. Let it come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, Jesus. So pray that these foundations would go deep into our lives. And Father, that we would become a people that have them and we build on those, so our lives are built on the rock. And we just honor you, Jesus, and say, you know what's best. You know how to live. You know what really makes me tick. So God, let your kingdom come. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And just in case there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, can I just take this opportunity to lead us in a little prayer about giving our lives to Jesus? And would you be so kind as to everybody join in, just in case somebody wants to say it and they're not, you know, don't want to be just the only one. So if you would say with me, Jesus, I realize that you know how to do life. And I want to follow you. I want to turn from my way of doing things and follow you and your way of doing things. I'm all in. Take me now. Fill me.
Thanks for listening. find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.